All right, turn back to John chapter 10 for a moment. The title of this message is Known of God. Known of God. In John 10, you remember verse 14 and 15, Christ declared, verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep. I know my sheep, and they know me. I'm known of mine. How deep is this knowledge, this intimacy, the knowledge of Christ and his people? Well, the answer is in verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. That's how I know my sheep, as my Father knows me. And that's how my sheep know me, as I know my Father. And he's speaking here as the mediator. He's speaking here as the Redeemer. That's how deep and intimate is this relationship between God and you, his sheep. I know them like my Father knows me. And they know me as I know my Father. That's exactly what he's saying there. I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and they know me as in the same manner that my Father knows me and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for them. Every believer rejoices to say, I know whom I have believed. People say, do you know God? Yes, I know the Lord. I know whom I have believed. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But the greatest part of this relationship is not how well I know him, but it's how well he knows me. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Turn to Galatians 4. Let me show you that. Galatians 4, verse 9. Galatians 4, 9. Now, while you're finding that, John said, the Son of God had come and given us an understanding that we may know God. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. So we know God. The Son has come and given us an understanding that we may know God and that we're in him. This is the true God and this is eternal life, that you may know God and you're in him. But here's the critical knowledge. Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after you have known God, what's those next words? Or rather, are known of God. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Paul's talking to those Galatians who have been tempted to go back to Moses' law. And he said, now that you know God, or rather, God knows you, how turn ye again to the beggarly elements? This is the name by which Hagar referred to God. Turn to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16. She said, thou God seest me, thou God knowest me. She'd seen him and his hand in a lot of revelation, but she said, he sees me. That's what the name by which she called him. Genesis 16, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord said unto Hagar, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son. She'll call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him, upon him that seeth me? But there's the critical part. He sees me. He knows me. He knows and loves me. I love my sheep. I know my sheep like my Father knows me. Now, two or three things I want to see. And I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Several things I want you to see in this psalm. How well the Lord knows his people. It's one of the most comforting psalms in the Bible for those who believe, those who truly believe, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. How well does he know his people? And then how long has he known them? The extent of this knowledge. His love and knowledge is infinite and it's everlasting. This is powerful now. All right, let's start with verse 1, Psalm 139. O Lord, this is David, the believer. This is a child of God writing. This is a believer. A person who knows God, walks with God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. What is this searching talking about? Well, the Lord searches out his sheep. He said, which of you having 100 sheep and one be lost doth not leave the 99 and go and search till he finds it and puts it on his shoulder and brings it on? Oh Lord, you search for me. I'm your sheep and you search for me. You came down here into this world and search for me. I lay in ruins just like all the rest of mankind, the ruins of the fall, the ruins of Adam's sin, among all of Adam's seed, transgressors. But I was a lost sheep, but I was your sheep. And you searched for me and found me. Redeemed me by the blood of your Son. Put me on your shoulder and brought me home. You searched for me. But he not only searched for us and after us, but he searches into us. Look at the last verse in Psalm 139, the very last two verses. Search me, O God. Search me and know my heart. And that he does. That's the reason I say this psalm is written by a man who knew God and God knew him truthfully, honestly, experimentally. Search me and know me. Try my heart, try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any hypocritical, contrary way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, this search, O Lord, thou searched me. Search me. Look, if you will, at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You got the scripture? I want you to look at it. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Walk with God. Search me. Search me. All right, let's talk about this knowledge now in verse 2, 3, and 4. And you look at four words here. He said, Lord, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. The Lord knows my movements. He orders my steps. Turn back to Psalm 37. This is the knowledge of the Lord of his people. So thorough that when I'm sitting down or when I'm lying down or when I'm walking or moving or whatever I'm doing, he orders my steps. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered, established by the Lord. Every step, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he'll not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him with his hand. Job wrote, the Lord knoweth the way I take, and after he's tried me, I'll come forth like gold. He knows my down sittings and my uprisings. He orders my steps. Then secondly, our text, Psalm 139. He understands my thoughts afar off. He knows my thoughts so well. He knows them before I think them. He knows them when I think them. He knows why I think them. He knows the motive behind my thinking. He knows the results of my thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows what I think of him. He knows what I think of Christ. He knows what I think of myself. He knows what I think of others. He knows my thoughts. And then he says he compasseth my path, my lying down. He's acquainted with all my ways. Now this is not just one single step or one single move or one single day. When he says he's acquainted with my ways, he's talking about the whole of my life and my conversation. Peter summed it up in this way. When he was sitting around the fire and the Lord Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Boy, about 3 days before that, Peter was sitting by a fire denying him. About 3 days before that, Peter was cursing and swearing he never met the man. But Peter fell back on this here. He's acquainted with my real way, the tenor of my life, the bent of my will, the course of my life. He's acquainted with who I really am. Not who I am in my best times or my worst times or in my mountain experience or my valley experiences or my praising or my cursing. He knows who I really am. So he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything about me. And you know I love you. You know my ways." He knows my down sittings and my uprisings. He knows my thoughts afar off. He compasses my path. He is fairly and completely acquainted with the real me. Not who I am on Sunday. Not who I am when I'm around a bunch of believers, but the real me. And I'm just glad he is. Are you? Because I really love him. I really believe him. It's no put on, it's no show. It's nothing. I don't have to impress anybody. I'm too old to do that now. He knows me. He knows my ways. And not a word in my tongue that he doesn't know it all together. All together. He knows my words all together, the whole of it. You know, when he described the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he's altogether lovely. That means nothing about him that's not lovely. And that's how he knows my words. He knows them all together. All together, completely. There's not a word that he doesn't know. And then he said down here in verse 5, "And thou hast beset me." The word beset there, the Hebrew word is confined, but also enclosed. He hath enclosed me behind and before. He hath put a hedge around his people. I think it's best described over here in the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I'll just have to borrow Satan's words in Job chapter 1, describing this knowledge of the Lord of Job. He knows my down sittings and uprising, my steps, my thoughts, my real person ways, my words. He's enclosed me behind and before I ever existed, now and always. And the Lord said to Satan, Let's start with verse 6, Job 1. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, I can't explain this. This is a heavenly occurrence that you just better just see what took place and not why it took place. Don't fool with why. You don't know, and I don't either. But the Lord said, Satan, whence comest thou? And he said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you set your heart on my servant Job? Are you considering Job? Have you set your heart on Job? Have you set your sights on Job? Made him a target of your wrath? None like him in the earth. He's a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. Satan answered and said, does he fear God for nothing? Listen, have you not made a hedge about him? Have you not enclosed him? Have you not beset him behind and before and given your angels charge over him, lest he dash his foot against a stone? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, you bless the work of his hands, his substance is increased. You put forth your hand and touch all that he hath. You put forth your hand and afflict him, and he'll curse you to your face. But I tell you this, what he's saying here in verse 5 is God, this is what Satan said about Job. You beset him behind and before. You've encircled him. You've encompassed him. You've enclosed him in your hands. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10. I'll just read it to you. I read it a moment ago, and you remember it. John 10, listen. In verse 28, John 10, 28, and I give my sheep eternal life, and they never perish, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. That's an enclosure. It's indescribable. His people are in his hands, hedged about. That's the knowledge. And David came to this conclusion in verse 6. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's beyond anything that I can comprehend or even consider. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did foreknow, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified us. He knew us in his everlasting covenant of grace, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't describe it. I can't comprehend it. I can't preach it like it ought to be preached. But if you can get hold of this knowledge I'm talking about, known unto God are all his works from the beginning, known of God, if you can get hold of that, you can sort of enter into, by with some understanding, Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. Turn over there. I want you to turn over there. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 53, 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That's his people. That's his elect. His church. His seed. And he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul. That travail is the word the travail of a woman in birth pains. That's bringing forth a child in travail. And Christ will see the travail of his soul. He made his soul an offering for sin. And in the travail of his soul and the suffering of his body, he brought forth a people, a kingdom, a covenant people, his elect. He'll see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. For by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. By his what? His knowledge. I know them. I know them. They know me. And I know them like my Father knows me. He's speaking here as our Redeemer. He's speaking in John 10 as our Redeemer. He knew us in the covenant of mercy. He knew us. He knew us at the cross. He knew us in Gethsemane's garden when he said, I pray, not for the world, I pray for them which you've given me. I know them. I love them. I pray for them. I die for them. Right now at the right hand of God, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He prays for us now. By that knowledge is how he redeemed us and why he redeemed us and the certainty of his redemption. I know him. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all he'th given me, I'll lose none of them, but raise them up at the last day. Now, verse 6, that kind of knowledge, that intimacy, that knowledge, that love, that oneness, head and body, husband, wife, it's too wonderful. I can't attain unto it. It's too high. Now, whither shall I go from his Spirit, the Spirit of God? Whither shall I flee from his presence? Jonah tried to flee from it. Whither shall I flee from his presence? If I ascend into heaven, he's there. This is the believer talking now. If I make my bed in the grave, that's not hellfire there, that's the grave. That word hell, many times in the scripture, is simply the grave. If I make my bed in the grave, and I will someday, as he did. Behold, art there. He was there and arose. But his presence is where his people are. He knows them. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. I'm still held in his hand, enclosed, encircled in his hand. Kept. If I say, well, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night will be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed me. Thou hast possessed my reins. That's David talking now. Thou hast possessed my reins. You Bible students, where have you seen that? Thou hast possessed me. Spoken by somebody else. Turn to Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Thou hast possessed me. Thou hast owned me. Thou hast confessed me. Thou hast possessed me. In all that word means. Proverbs 8, verse 22. You know who the speaker is here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus says about himself is what he says about his redeemed ones. And what the Lord Jesus said about himself, if the Father loves me as he loved him, and knows me as he knows him, and owns me as he owns him, I can say the same thing. And David did. He said, thou hast possessed me. Thou hast possessed my reins. What is your reins? Look it up sometime. The word reins, R-E-I-N-S. That's the word reins is your being, your mind, your soul. The old Jewish writers call it the kidneys. That's right. Now I'm not off my rocker this morning. He's got the kidneys. The kidneys are so vital. They shut down, you shut down. And God possessed my kidneys, my mind. How long? Proverbs 8:22. Thou hast possessed me in the beginning of his way. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Hang on now. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knew you and possessed you, encompassed you before the foundation of the world. Same thing. You see, as long as there's been a redeemer, there's been a redeemed. See what I'm talking about? People say, does the father have a son? Well, he's not a father if he doesn't have a son. You understand that? To have a father, you got to have a son. And to be a redeemer, you got to have redeemed people. Almighty God's never considered the redeemer apart from his people. Isn't that right, Cecil? They're in him, always been in him. He's possessed me, and I can't go back far enough to tell you when the Redeemer was the Redeemer, but that's when I was redeemed in the mind of God. Possessed me when there were no depths. I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. As who? As the Redeemer, as the covenant head, as the surety of a people, as the Christ. And that's what he says over here in Psalm 139, verse 13. Thou hast possessed my reins, my being, my person. Verse 13, Psalm 139, you covered me in my mother's womb. The average person thinks when a fella gets under some kind of conviction, comes down the aisle, shakes hands with the preacher, and joins the church, and we baptize him, God writes his name in the book of life. New name written down in glory. Don't count on it. There are no new names written in glory. They've always been written. The book, God says, I have written. And then God starts blessing him. God blesses him from then on. He belonged to God when he was drunk as a cook. If he belongs to God now. Now, he's not going to do that now, but he belonged to God then. He belonged to the Lord God as a redeemed person before the world began. That's what this book says here. You possessed, you covered me in my mother's womb. Listen, verse 14, I'll praise thee, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The hearing ear and the seeing eyes of God. How marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance, what is my substance? It's my strength, it's my body, it's my being. My substance was not hid from thee when I was wrought in secret, when I was conceived in secret. When just the seed met the egg and something happened, when I was wrought in secret, curiously made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Where is this lowest parts of the earth? It's the womb. That's where you were conceived, and that's where you were wrought, and that's where you were developed, in the womb. It's called in the scripture the lowest parts of the earth. It's the place to which Christ came when he left heaven's glory. Where did he come to? His mother's womb. That's where Christ came to. Let me show you that in the scripture. It's found in Ephesians. I see, you know. Well, I didn't write that down. It's curiously wrought, it's before in the found in the lowest parts of the earth. But that's it says Christ descended. It, I know where it is, Ephesians 4, that's it. Ephesians 4, that's where it is. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4. Now listen to this, just talking about our Lord. Now over there David said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Before he ever ascended back to the Father, he descended first to the lowest parts of the earth. That's where he came to the womb. Was made in the womb and born a man. And this is what the Lord said, David said here in my text, Psalm 139, my substance, my strength, my body, my person, me, I was not. Was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the womb of my mother. Listen, verse 16, your eyes did see my substance. Thou God seest me. What did Hagar say? Thou God seest me. You saw me when I was a seed. You saw me yet being unperfect. And in your book, all of my members, my substance, my being, my personality, my character, my life, my thoughts, my ways were written. Which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there wasn't any of them. When I didn't even exist. Now that brings me down to this conclusion. How precious, verse 17, also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. How precious. There's several things that are called precious in the Word of God. There's the precious blood with which we're redeemed. He is precious unto you that believe. His promises are precious. God-given faith is precious. The death of a believer is precious. But I'm telling you this, the most precious thing to me personally this morning is his thoughts to me. That makes the other my possession because of his thoughts. Let's read the rest of the chapter. Surely, O Lord, thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. They speak against God wickedly, not just the world, but the religious world. They speak against this God, this sovereign God, this God of all knowledge, this God of all grace, this God of eternal salvation. Thy enemies take thy name in vain. When we don't use the name of God in such a way as to glorify him, we take his name in vain. If we don't ascribe to him all the glory and greatness due unto his name, we take his name in vain. When we call someone Jesus that's not the Christ of the Bible, we're taking his name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me. Oh God, know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any contrary way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting.